living in urgent times, if you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is indeed a pleasure to be live with you on July 20th, 2026. Can you believe it? It's a beautiful day in Philadelphia. The sun is shining, no smoke in the air, and no tornadoes canceling a lot of flights. What a weekend it was. So let us begin in prayer and thanksgiving for all that the Lord has provided for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we offer this program up to you today. We pray as a community of believers for peace in the world. Lord, nothing is impossible if we believe and trust in your mercy. So Jesus, as a community of believers today, we pray for peace in the world. Father God, we pray for protection from tornadoes and floods and wildfires. Father God, the whole world is upside down with all these horrendous weather events. So we pray protection for all around the world. Jesus, we just ask that where there are wildfires, we ask that rain will come and really put out these wildfires and the floods, that they would stop, and the tornadoes, Jesus, protect all the homes and the families. We pray in particular today for the healing of families, those who are divided in some way. We pray for healing, that you are the divine healer. So we thank you and praise you for that. And of course, we're praying today for your personal intentions. No matter who you are or where you are or your walk with the Lord, we believe in miracles. So we are praying for your special intentions today. So this morning, I was praying and said, Lord, what is, as you know, I say this every week, what is the topic that you want? And yesterday I received a beautiful, a podcast clip from Dr. Ralph Martin. And if you do not have this, it's part of Renewal Ministries, and he puts it out like once a month. So I was listening to it, and I love the topic, and it was based on a prophetic word given to Patty Mansfield, who, and it was just recent, and he received it, and it was shared by Dr. Martin yesterday through a podcast that I saw. Now, many of you are wondering, well, who in the world is Patty Mansfield? She is one of the co-founders of the Charismatic Renewal at Duquesne University in the 1960s. She asked for an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and she went to a special chapel at Duquesne and received an overwhelming fire of the Holy Spirit. And thus, my friends, this is when the Charismatic Renewal started in the United States. But in any case, she experienced all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Dr. Ralph Martin, who was not a doctor at that time of theology, trust in her prophetic words. And it's rare. She doesn't really come out so much anymore. And if she does, it's quiet. And she just returned from Rome with the Holy Father. So he shared the prophetic word and said how he prayed about it, and he knew how powerful it was. So I listened to it, and it was very much what we've been sharing on the air the last month or two. But I really felt compelled to share what has been on my heart, because it lines up with the prophetic word that she shared with Dr. Ralph Martin. And so the topic today, my friends, is the Lord wants us to be intercessors committed to intercession. So I'm asking you the question today, who among us is answering the call? Now, I don't know about you, but quite often there's a family member of mine who says, why do you always ask for prayer? And I always say, because people do pray. And she says, no, no. They say, oh, Jesus, just take care of that person. Well, I know indeed that there are many intercessors who are part of this radio network. And so we're going to go into depth about what the Lord wants of us. And I'm going to use part of Patty Mansfield's prophetic word that she shared with Dr. Ralph Martin. If this word were not true, he would never share it. He's very discerning. So I ask that you stay with me because we're going to go into a depth that we probably haven't. If you have been with me for years, you may have heard some of this, but most of you have not. So a life of love is always drawn from a life of prayer. Did you hear that correctly? A life of love is drawn from a life of prayer. Now, the condition of our prayer life will often determine how well we'll be able to receive God's love and how well we'll be able to give that love to others. Now, I'm setting you up so you become a powerful intercessor, my friend. Now, our prayer life, if you're new to this, is like an automobile. I don't know about you, but I do not like getting my car inspected. My husband usually takes care of it, and always there's something wrong with the car, but we have to do it, especially in the state of Pennsylvania. We have to get an inspection sticker, and sometimes we neglect. Maybe the brakes are squeaking, and maybe the oil needs to be changed, and it's the same as our life with the Lord. It seems to keep moving along smoothly, and sometimes some things fall through the cracks. But before long, we run into trouble, don't we? We find ourselves feeling out of touch with God, unable to conquer temptations, unable to love others as we should, all because we did not keep up with the basics. Now, to begin with, my friends, I'd like to share about an attitude that's helped all of us keep our prayer life in the proper orientation. And I'm borrowing from Dr. Ralph Martin and Peter Herbeck, and some of the others from Renewal Ministries. It's this: prayer is a joyful duty. It's not long-suffering. We always think, and those who are not prayerful people think, oh, you're on your knees, your bloody knees. It's a prayerful duty. Now, prayer began to take on a new dimension for all of us when we realized that it was not just something we did when we felt like it. Because we felt like it. It was something we did because we were supposed to do it, because God called us to do it, because we were created to do it. Do what? Prayer is what I was made for. It's what you were made for. God created us to know him, to love him, and to serve him. Now, the most basic expression of the knowledge, love, and service of God is prayer, my friends. When we pray, we're reaching our ultimate fulfillment in this life. Yes, and this is what Patty Mansfield had received through the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of intercession. Now, if you think you know everything there is about intercession, I hope that you do. But we're going to another level because the Lord is calling us all out. You know, we've talked about being lukewarm Christians, no matter what your denomination is. We cannot be lukewarm Christians. We need to get off the fence. Now, prayer is what we're made for. God created us to know him, to love him, and to serve him. Now, we all know that. We've heard that forever. Now, by prayer, our prayer is our duty. But it's a joyful duty. If you didn't know it, it is a joyful duty because it's the deepest expression of what we were created for and the richest source of God's blessings in our life. Now, prayer is a sign of our commitment to the Lord. Many years ago, I shared on the air that I had a very special friend, a priest in Boston, Father John Lazansky, who had very powerful healing gifts. And my children were young, and I remember saying to him, oh, Father, I just don't have time for prayer. And he looked at me, and I've shared this on the air many times, but we may have listeners today who haven't heard this. And he said, you need to pray when you're making dinner, when you're cleaning the bathroom, when you're driving your car, when you're taking a shower. It's not just a committed time. It's all the time. Make prayer part of your 24-hour, 7-day-a-week life. That was very moving for me because I always thought I had, and it's important to take time to pray in a special way. But he taught me how to pray all the time, unceasingly, which is so scriptural. Prayer is a duty. Prayer for me is a sign of my commitment to the Lord. How about you? Now, this commitment needs to go beyond our words our feelings. We really get stuck on the feeling part, don't we? It needs to find actual concrete expression. Now, the most basic form of that expression is faithfulness to worship and prayer. Faithfulness to worship and prayer. Now, the first and most basic element of our prayer must be praise. It's not just for charismatics. It's not just for people on TV or radio. The first and most basic element of our prayer life must be praise. So what does this mean? A lot of people who are listening, you may say, well, if you're on the beaches, and I remember years ago, a lot of people on the New Jersey and Delaware beaches are listening to WTMR. So if you're on the beach right now, stay with me. It does not matter who we are, what our circumstances are, or what season of life we're in. The most fundamental thing we are to do is to praise and worship the Lord, our God, our King, our Creator. Now, if you're saying, what do you mean? That's really for the freaks. That's really for the ones I just can't relate to this. Now, if you're on the beach and you're lathering up the suntan lotion and you're saying, I don't get this, I want you to stay with me because I know we have a lot of listeners for TMR on the beaches. Now, the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My friends, that's Psalm 34, verse 1. And when he says at all times, he means at all times. Good times, bad times, happy times, sorrowful times, and busy times, and leisure times. The praise of God should always be in our hearts and on our lips. Now, keep with me if you still can't relate to this. Now, this is a tall order, isn't it? Now, how are we to go about it? Okay, put the suntan lotion down and listen carefully. How are we going to go about it? More specifically, where are we to find the words with which to praise God in this way? Now, I know personally from all these years of ministry that people struggle with this problem. We think it takes place in large meetings of people who are active in the charismatic renewal, prayer groups, Bible studies, who are quite at home with vocal, exuberant praise and worship. But even among them, we notice a rather limited praise vocabulary. And many of them, when they praise the Lord, simply say over and over again, now this is going to sound familiar because I have fallen into the pits on this one. I praise you, Lord. I worship you. I praise you, Lord. I say it over and over again. Now, if it were not for these few phrases, we may find ourselves with a heart full of praise, but no words with which to express it. Now, if our praise of the Lord is going to be as rich and full and joyful as it could be, we need to base it on the Word of God. The Bible, particularly the Psalms, it's a storehouse, my friends, of inspired prayer with which to worship God. Now, I draw most of my praise from the Psalms. It's the basic prayer collection of God's people, a collection inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, we can surmise that it's even the book from which Jesus drew most of his personal prayers. Now, I may, for example, begin with Psalm 18. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. Now, it's a simple matter to adjust the words and make them our own. I bless you, Lord, because you forgive all my sins. Take that psalm and make it your own. Now, there are many other psalms and many other passages of scripture, my friends, that can provide a basis for our praise. Now, I know those of you who are involved in Bible studies know this. You know it's helpful to memorize passages and to make it a point to use them for a while memorizing them so that they stay with you. Then over a period of time, you build up a personal vocabulary of praise that you can draw on at any time in any situation. Now, if you're finished with the suntan lotion and you're walking back to where you live or you're getting a water ice, another important ingredient of praise is music. I don't know why some people have a hard time with this. I shared maybe a few years ago when I was going through a very difficult time, maybe 10 years ago, and I went to confession to a priest, and I said, I am really having a hard time praying. And he said, I want you to get this CD of music. It's praise music. And I want you to let the music praise God for you. I couldn't pray. I was dead as a doorknob. And I got the CD, and it didn't work at first. And I thought, okay, he told me to do this. I'm going to try it. Well, it did work. And now, even when I feel like I'm dead as a doorknob, and you may be dead as a doorknob today, find some praise and worship music. You can. You don't have to have CDs anymore. You can pull it up on YouTube or your phone. There are many other ways in which music will praise God for you. Now, the Book of Psalms is a collection of prayers, and that's true, but there's more to it than that. Actually, the Book of Psalms is a collection of hymns. Did you know that? Of praise songs. Did you know that they were all set to music? And even now, some of the best praise songs are actually psalms set to music. If you can sing, then sing to the Lord when you praise him. If you can play an instrument, so much the better. Now, if you're not musically inclined, don't worry. God doesn't expect us all to be virtuosos, does he? He calls us to make joyful noise to him, and he takes delight in our efforts to glorify him. Now, a second element of prayer that I want to highlight is reading the sacred scriptures. All right, the ice cream man just came in front of you. In Seattle City, it's called the Fudgy Wudgy Man. So you're saying, I don't know if I'm going to listen to Ann. I don't want to hear anymore. I already know all this. Or do I get up and get the Fudgy Wudgy Man? Well, first get the Fudgy Wudgy Man, I would. And then sit down and listen, because I pray that this program touches your heart in a special way. A second element of prayer that I really want to highlight today is reading the scripture. Bring a little Bible to the beach. I have a little one. It's the New Testament. And as we read God's word, we learn more about who God is, how he acts, what his priorities are. Now, one of the most basic ways we grow into our life with God is by simply immersing ourselves in God's word. Now, we need to set a goal for ourselves that we actually attain, one or two chapters a day, and set about reading the entire Bible if you can. Some can't. There are different ways to do this, and the simplest way is just to begin at Genesis 1:1 and read straight through the Bible. Now, I don't know. I couldn't do that. One or two chapters at a time until we've completed Revelation 22, verse 21. Now, there's also a variety of simple Bible reading plans and studies available that can guide us through the scriptures over a course of a year. Now, whatever you choose to adopt is not as important as the fact that we expose ourselves to everything God has to say to us in his word. I emphasize everything, because most of us, if we do not adopt a systematic approach, we'll tend to gravitate toward those sections of scriptures that we already know well. I raise my hand on that one. And as a result, we miss out on the sweep of God's revelation of himself and his plan. Does this sound familiar to you? Sacred scriptures are a treasure. Don't read the trashy romantic book on the beach. Pick up the scriptures. You'll be surprised what happens to you. Now, St. Paul told Timothy, and he tells us today, in the sacred scriptures, that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, and the man or woman of God must be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, I'm asking you to make full use of this great treasure God has given us, reading the entirety of God's word, reviewing the full panorama of his revelation, and letting it all come to take root in our lives. Now, this is very important, very, very important. Now, the third element of personal prayer, now we're getting to the root, the building up of intercession, is meditating on scripture. Now, Luke records that after Mary had given birth to Jesus and had heard the heavenly host proclaiming him Savior of the world, she kept all things pondering them in her heart. That's why we do when we meditate on God's word. We ponder it in our hearts. This is what the Lord wants. In addition to our daily reading of scripture, take time for for prayer twice a week to meditate on a passage of Scripture. And often in the course of your reading, the Lord will bring a particular passage to your attention and make it come alive for you in a very special way. Has this already happened for you? Whatever approach you take, meditation is a very good way to keep God's word, get down deep inside of you, and take root so that it can bear more fruit in our lives. I have found so often, in all decades of ministry, people know the top root. Well, not even the root, the top of the flower, but they're not rooted deep. And they find that they're losing their faith and their ability to pray. It's because they're not deeply rooted. A fourth element of prayer is Scripture study. Now, I'm not talking here about academic study. I remember Sister Breege McKenna, an Irish nun with great healing gifts, and I had her interviewed for one of the documentaries I did. She said, and I have this on an old tape. Geez, I sure hope that someday I can have a tape player that can play some of these old tapes. She said, "Ann dear, no one ever studied their way into heaven. No one. No one ever studied their way into heaven because I kept talking about theologians, probably trying to impress her at that time, but I was only in my 30s. And we're not talking here about academic study, the kind of thing we would do if we were trying to earn a degree in theology, which is lovely, but it's not for all of us. I'm talking about a more simple type of personal study designed to make the meaning of Scripture come alive for us in our prayer lives. That's what I'm talking about. So, prayer is an inexhaustible topic. We could go on and on for years. An entire book could be written. Indeed, many entire books have been written about the ways of prayer. And you may already have some of the elements I've already described incorporated into your prayer life. You may be doing them in a somewhat different manner than I've described, and you may find it make use of other disciplines and patterns when you pray. In the end, friends, it doesn't matter so much what particular system or approach we adopt. What does matter is that we pray, that we keep our spiritual life in good running condition, like the car we talked about, you know, that goes in for the inspection. We need to be inspected. We need to make sure that all our systems are working. We need to keep our spiritual life in good running condition, like our cars, by regularly spending time in God's presence, pouring ourselves out to Him in love, and receiving His wisdom, love, protection, and encouragement in return. Oh, that's a whole program, isn't it? I think I'm going to set that up for August. Encouragement in return for protection. Now, what does matter is that we fulfill our joyful duty. Now, the precise manner in which we fulfill it can vary. Any approach to personal prayer will in some way reflect the elements we've talked about: praise, worship of God, meditation, reading, study of His word and Scripture. This is the backbone of a life of prayer, which in turn is the backbone of a life of love. Yet there's one more element that has to be mentioned here. One more component of a life of prayer. It's so important. I really need to give you more space in prayer time, in radio time. Let us turn now to this important additional element in prayer. And this is where we touch back to Patty Mansfield and Dr. Ralph Martin. Are you ready? Most of us, if we're honest, will confess that our personal prayer times are rather, well, they're rather ordinary most of the time. Now, if you're sitting in your house, and you're looking around and you're saying, well, yeah, my prayer life is pretty ordinary most of the time. You get up at the usual time. You go to the usual place. You sit in the usual chair. Do you drink the usual cup of coffee or tea? And after years, maybe, of daily prayer, we've settled into a pattern of prayer that helps us to make contact with the Lord. These are all very important. But most of the time, nothing terribly spectacular goes on. It's all ordinary. It's all routine. But have you ever considered what an awesome privilege prayer is and should be in your life? And this is where we're traveling now. Have you ever considered what an incredible thing it is that you and I, of all people, can come into the very presence of the living God of the universe? That we can speak to him. We can pour out our joys and sorrows to him. We can read his word in the Bible. We can sit at his feet and listen to him. Speak directly to our hearts by the working of the Holy Spirit. All that is precisely what happens each and every time we pray. No matter how ordinary the outward circumstances of our prayer time may seem, we come into the presence of the living God. We encounter him person to person. We converse with him. We draw life and power and wisdom. So what is intercession according to the prophetic word that Patty Mansfield received recently and shared with Dr. Ralph Martin? We've talked about intercession for years. But I'm going to take it a little deeper. Jesus is the intercessor. He is the mediator between God and man. His death and resurrection served as the definitive act that reconciled the difference between God and man. And now, reigning as he does at the Father's right hand in the kingdom, Jesus continues to mediate on our behalf. And now, if you're listening, that means you. Not some odd. If you're listening, it means you. He pleads our case at the Father's throne and answers our prayer, sending us his Holy Spirit, his grace, and his favor. Now, if you're aching to get up out of your beach chair off the beach for a little bit, you could stretch. When we come up to a commercial break, I want you to stand up and stretch and look out at the ocean, and you're going to praise God with me for the beauty of our ocean and our beaches and the sky and the people that are around you. You may be alone on the beach right now. You may not know a soul, but God has a plan. As Christians, we unite with the intercession of Jesus by praying for particular people and particular needs. Now, this is what we're talking about, intercession, and what the Lord wants us to intercede for strangers, our lineage, our family. And when we beg God for mercy or plead with the Lord on behalf of another, we're joining Jesus' intercession. We're uniting our prayer for that person or that need with Jesus' eternal, unending intercession. Now, God answers our prayers because Jesus, our mediator, is pleading our case before God the Father. Now, Scripture tells us that Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. Now, if you don't have a pen or pencil on that beach in the sand, it's Hebrews 7, verse 25. Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. And when our prayers are united with the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ, they come before the throne of God, and our Father always answers them. Now, it's really easy to get the wrong idea about what an intercessor is. And wow, oh wow, I've heard this so many times. We may think that an intercessor is one who grits his teeth, digs in prayer for hours. But that's not true. An intercessor is not just someone who prays longer or more intensely. Rather, a true intercessor, here's the gold mine, a true intercessor is one who makes a long-term decision to plead on behalf of another. That's right, a long-term decision to plead on behalf of another. That's a true intercessor, not the two-second flyby. I call it the two-second flyby intercessor. So after the break, I have so much more to share with you. Stay tuned, because if you're sitting on the beach We have so much more, and we'll be ending the program with Father Peter Rookie's miracle prayer. See you after the break.
Hello, Father Glacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy, in particular, has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network on WTMR 800 on the AM dial. I'm your host, Anne McGlone. On Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I am so happy to be with you today. We're talking about who among us answers the call. The Lord wants us to be intercessors committed to intercession. And it's coming through great prophetic words given to God's holy people, and we need to pay attention to that. We all think we know what intercession is, but I'm going to take you to another level, and I want you to stay with me, because at the end of the program, we're going to pray for healing for all those who are listening. Now, a true intercessor, I'm going to repeat this, is one who makes a long-term decision to plead on behalf of another. Now, in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, God asks through the prophet for people to stand in the gap for others. Stand in the gap. We know what that means. This helps us to capture the essence of intercession. Now, you may have a family member who can't pray, or you may have someone you know in the hospital who's very sick, or you've been praying for years and years for that one family member to come back to the church. Most importantly, to back to the Lord. The Lord answers your prayers. Do not back off. Because, again, a long-term decision to plead on behalf of that person, you will receive a joyful slap on the back from the Lord, thanking you for your long-term decision to intercede for this person before Him. Now, God's plea that more people become intercessors, which we just heard in the beginning of the program, shows what a crucial and neglected role it is. There are a number of passages in sacred scripture that tell us how much the Lord looks to his people to stand in the gap for others. Now more than ever, my friends, we need to stand in the gap. One such passage is in the book of Isaiah. The Lord saw this wickedness of the people, and it displeased him, that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no one to intervene. Now that is an intercessor scripture. Now isn't this a tragedy? Are you really truly praying for peace in the world? Are you truly praying? Or are you just hoping someone else is? God could find no one to intervene, to intercede, to plead for him, before him for mercy on behalf of the people in the book of Isaiah. Is this the same thing true today? Or are there men and women of God prepared to stand in the gap? I'm stopping right here. Are you ready to stand in the gap for the Lord? Are you ready to be a long-term intercessor for his plan on this earth, for your family, not just your prayer intentions, but maybe for the prayer intentions of someone who has no one to intercede for them? Now, imagine just one person pleading with God could have saved any nation from judgment. This is the power of intercession. This is the value God places on it, my friends. It's true that only the Savior, our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, perfectly fulfills those two scripture passages that I wanted to share from Ezekiel, Ezekiel 22:30. It's equally true that God wants you to join in prayer with Jesus, standing in the gap for those without faith, those in sin, and those too ill to pray. Now, today the Lord's asking you and me to intercede. Now, this requires perseverance. We all know the condition of our world, the painful problems of violence, poverty, lust, greed, and all the rest. Everyone is affected by such problems. We know that particular problems faced by members of our own families. And who among us does not have problems in his or her own personal life? Now, God looks at our problems and tells us that he has given us a powerful tool, one that can move mountains, the power of intercessory prayer. I want you to really take this to heart. It's hard for us to believe this. We are the instant generation. We're the instant generation. Our children, our grandchildren, our companies, we're the instant generation. We push a button, bank machine places cash in our hands. We open a box, our dinner appears. Now, there's nothing wrong with the convenience of modern life. But when the instant results mentality infects our view of prayer and our spirituality, we can get into difficulty. And I've shared probably 2 or 3 years ago about a conversation with my grandson, who is a teenager now, and said, well, God didn't hear his prayers. And I said, well, it's not a vending machine. You put a quarter in and poof, he answers your prayers like that. And he didn't get it. He just didn't get it. And I'm still trying to work with him to understand God always answers our prayers. It's yes, no, or not yet. But this generation thinks it's a vending machine. You put in a prayer, you better get the results. Well, that's not how God works. We don't often see instant results. And he works in different ways because he demands change from human beings, both in the one praying and in the one being prayed for. Now, if we've expected instant results, and I can't imagine we have one person who doesn't, we can easily become discouraged and give up too soon, right? Intercession requires your perseverance. Now, my friends, we also have to resist temptation of saying, I'm too busy to pray that much, or God may be calling someone else to pray for them, but not me. The fact of the matter is that God calls each and every one of us to intercede. Now, the New Testament is full of exhortations to pray. Christian teaching through the ages contains exhortation after exhortation to pray. God does not present intercession as an option. This is not an option of your Christian walk. It's not an option. It's a duty. It's a duty that comes right along with the many privileges of being his children. Will God look upon our generation and be forced to say, I looked for one to intervene, but I found no one? Or I searched for someone to stand in the breach, but I found no one? Or will he see a people before him pleading for his mercy for this generation, this nation, this world? Who among us will answer his call? Now I'm stopping again. I'm asking you, no matter if you're in the Poconos, on the beach, in your office, in your house, sitting on your stoop in Philadelphia, sitting by a river, will you answer his call? Now be honest. Are you shaking? Are you a little scared? When we come before the Lord to intercede, we have to first of all repent of our sins. We have to be sorry. We have to be sorry. We cannot expect to engage in fruitful intercession, asking God to do all manner of things for ourselves, for our families, for others, unless we're right standing before the Lord. I used to teach years ago, maybe 30 years ago, when I would do youth conferences at major convention centers. I would talk about the rain spout being clogged, especially in the Northeast, with leaves and dirt, and how the water couldn't flow through the leaves and dirt, and it would just flow over the rain spout, and so the rain spout couldn't produce a clean line for the water to come out. And I said, that's like the sacrament of reconciliation. Your lines may be all clogged with sin or doubt or fear. It's time to get your life in order. There is no time to waste. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its effects. We become righteous when we repent of our sins and beg God in his mercy to bestow his righteousness upon us. Now, this is how we get into the right place before God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will never forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he will forgive our sins, rather. The frame of mind and heart that enables us to intercede effectively comes from a repentant heart. Now, you may have slight narcissistic tendencies and think, I'm justified. This person hurt me. I am not going to forgive them. Well, you are human, but right now, the Lord Jesus is asking you to forgive them and perhaps for that person to forgive you. Over the years, God has touched my heart time and time again, always going deeper, always showing me more than I can repent for. Does that sound grim and uninviting? It's just the opposite. There's tremendous joy in repentance. I really believe we're all at the point today where we can honestly say, please do show me my sin, Lord. Please do show me my sin. Every time I repent, I know more of God. And every time I repent, I have more of God's life in me. More of his joy, more of his peace, more of his presence, more of his hope. Now these blessings are the fruit of repentance. Now, here's the essence of intercession. When we come before the Lord to pray for others, for the serious needs we have to first repent of our own sins. So, let's take, for example, you committed adultery, or you lied about your gambling habit. But you're interceding, you're praying for others, so the Lord is asking you to clean out the rain spouts that I just told you about. Clean out those rain spouts. If you're Catholic, through the Sacrament of Reconciliation. If you're not Catholic, you ask God, come before the Lord and ask him to help you to forgive that person and for him to forgive you. We must be humble. We must be sorry. We must be willing to change. Those who are Catholic should regularly avail themselves of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Do we become righteous men and women whose prayer will have great power in its effects? The scriptures challenge us, friends, to boldness in intercession. This is where I'm taking you. Boldness in intercession. We're to stand in the gap and plead with the living God for his mercy and grace. Now, the only way to do this is considering how awesome our God is by being humble and repentant. We also have to learn to intercede as part of God's people. We do not come before the Lord simply as isolated individuals. We do it as part of the larger community to which we belong. It's called the body of Christ. We're all members together of one body. I remember, many of you probably remember the song, We Are One Body. My friend Dana Scallon from Ireland wrote it, sang it in the United States. Do you know, I never met her, but we became friends through intercession and our work. She would pray for me from Ireland, and I would pray for her in Ireland. And we developed a deep connection, and I never met her. But it is through the gift of intercession that we became friends. I'm very moved to pray for her today. I haven't mentioned her name in probably a year or so. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray for Dana Scallon in Ireland, for her work and her ministry. And we pray through the power of the Holy Spirit for her and her family and her needs. And we thank you, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. We are called to understand our share in the condition of mankind. We're called to do what Moses did. He did not turn his back on his people, ever. Rather, he went up to the Lord as a representative of his people, interceding on their behalf. One of these attitudes of personal repentance and identification with God's people are part of our lives. We're able to repent on behalf of God's people. Now, when we come before the Lord, we too can and should ask God's mercy and forgiveness for all his people, not just your laundry list, all his people. God honors these prayers. He hears and responds to it. Now, as we begin to take on an appropriate attitude, that's right, recognizing that we're part of God's people and we're one with them in their joy and sorrow, in their righteousness and in their sin, as we resolve that we're going to pray for those no matter what they've done to us, what they've done to others, we build our prayer in a base of personal repentance. And we put ourselves in a place where we can begin to pray according to God's mind, his heart, and God will hear and answer our prayers. Now, we have, if you study the sacred scriptures, we have many scriptural models to guide us. Now, remember Abraham's prayer for Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember Moses' prayer that the people would be spared from the plagues? Remember Ezra and Nehemiah and David? And remember how Jesus prayed for his disciples and how they prayed for those that they brought into the Christian family. These were righteous men who stood in the gap, who interceded for others before the throne of God, and God heard their prayers. We're called to pray in a similar way, not in self-righteousness, my friends, not in self-righteousness, with humble and contrite hearts. And when we do, the Lord will hear and answer our prayers. This is the man to whom I will look, the Lord told Isaiah. He that is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. We need to take those words to heart, let them guide our intercession. So how important is intercession to the Lord? It's so important that he provides intercessors for us, and sometimes even people we do not know. Now, I challenge you to pray for people you do not know. Maybe someone who has no one to pray for them in a hospital, a nursing home, alone, who's in a sickbed, in prison. Sometimes we need to pray for people who will never know us. I know I never would have been able to do the things I've done to be of service for God's people in the ministries he's called me to, or not for people praying for me. If God places this much value on intercession, guess what? So should we. Every committed Christian has been called to the Lord to pray for someone or something. And maybe it's your spouse, your children, your parents, your friends, your pastor, or another Christian leader that you don't even agree with. But most likely, God calls you to pray for those involved in wrongdoing and for the victims of their sin. Whoever on whatever he calls you to intercede for it. Here's a big two words, do it. Assess your own situation and determine what the Lord wants you to intercede for right now. What do you have an intuition, a sense that what God wants you to intercede for? Think for a moment about needs you are aware of in your family, in your church, in your parish, in your Bible study, and my friends, in the world. Choose one particular need in each of these three areas. Then go to the Lord and say, Lord, how do you want me to pray? You see, God wants spiritual warriors, men and women who are seriously committed, fervent intercessors. God is extending an invitation to you, if you're listening. An invitation which, if we accept it, can free us from anxiety. Guess what? It frees you from anxiety when you're focusing on another, from frustration and pain. He's offering us a tool to take into our hands and use to build his kingdom. Now, we no longer need to throw up our hands in despair with all the situations that trouble us. We no longer need to ask, what can I do, God? What can I do? When confronted with a need for our family, intercession is a powerful weapon. We can use it, and we can see great results. So, will you stand in the gap? Who will intervene for your family, for your church, for the state of this world? I believe God is issuing an invitation as well as a command. Who will answer? How can we pass up the opportunity, the challenge, the ministry God holds us to? I beg you to take God's word seriously. So maybe you're one of the people who've been praying for someone close to you for years and years without seeming to have received any answer in your prayers. Maybe they're your own children or someone who is sick or for the mending of a broken family. If you're one of those people, let me urge you today not to give up and into discouragement. Let me assure you of one crucial truth. God hears every word you pray, and he answers every one of our prayers. His answers may not always come in the form you expect or as soon as you would like, but the prayers of faithful sons and daughters of God are always answered without fail. Without fail, my friend. Do you come before God in prayer with your minds and spirits burdened by the needs of those you love? This one needs a job, this one's struggling, this marriage, this one's ill. We all do. So let us begin and to hope and to pray today that this word sinks into the depths of your heart. That as Patty Mansfield shared with Dr. Ralph Martin, we all become intercessors for our children and for God's children, not just little children, but for God's children. It's important for all of us to understand the role of intercession, no matter what faith you are, no matter where you are in your faith journey, no matter where you live, or if you've never heard this radio network before. So, my friends, we are going to pray right now, as we've been doing for a couple months, the Father Peter Rookie prayer, who had a charism of healing. He was a Servite friar, and this prayer has freed so many, has delivered so many, and has healed so many. So I'm asking you now, if you're tuning in for the first time on the beach, in the Poconos, on the highway, in the kitchen, in the hospital, in the nursing home, wherever you are, no matter where you are in your faith journey, if intercession is not part of your equation, I'm asking you to pray this with me, believing that the Lord Jesus has a plan. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, I come before you just as I am. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. In your name, I forgive all others for what they've done to me and against me. I renounce Satan, the evil spirits, and all their works. I give you my entire self, Lord Jesus, now and forever. Okay, we're going to pray it again, and I want you to pray it from the depths of your heart. Lord Jesus, I come before you just as I am. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. In your name, I forgive all others for what they've done to me. I renounce Satan, the evil spirits, and all their works. I give you my entire self, Lord Jesus, now and forever. And now, as we've done in the past, because we are in urgent times. We are in urgent times. This is the reading the Lord gave me today. From In the Silence of My Heart, the prophetic words given to Kathleen McCarthy, who is the president of this network. And these prophetic words have been approved by the church. And they've received what's called a nikil apostat and an imprimatur. So they are in accordance with the sacred scriptures and church teaching. This is a very unusual prophetic word. Someone listening today needs this, or all of us need it. There are so many stiff-necked people, so many that have ears, eyes, minds, and hearts closed. Many times I prompt you to reach out to those whose eyes, minds, hearts, ears seem to be closed. And many times it's children, your own children. Many times it's your mate, and many times it's people that you love, your siblings, your good friends, your acquaintances. I would not have you be afraid. Do not be afraid to speak truth. It doesn't depend on you, but I ask you to rely on me to working with you. You see, it's my truth. My truth sets you free. It sets free those that are bound. I ask you to put away your fear and your anxiety of what others will think of you. Believe me, it's more important what I think of you. You see, I have faith in you. And many times when you see that prayers aren't answered or you feel that they're not, I assure you it's because I know you have what it takes to work through it. And so you see, I'm giving you the grace to do just that. I'm moving in you and through you. I'm answering your prayers and the prayers of all those who call upon me. I don't want you to be fearful or anxious, and I don't want you to be afraid to speak the truth, because when you do, you miss an opportunity to set someone free, to plant a seed, to plant a word of hope, to nurture forgiveness and to enlighten one's mind, one's heart, one's spirit. You're silent, even though you know the truth that you've been set free, because you don't want to be embarrassed. My friends, I pray that this program has touched you in a powerful way. You are Jesus' followers. We are all called, regardless of our walk in life, to intercede before God the Father for those who have no one to pray for them. I want you to pray, just simply pray, for all those who have no one to pray for them. So until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.